Well, the latest unemployment numbers are out this morning, and the result is the nation's unemployment rate remains unchanged. What does this portend for the 2013 job outlook? We'll find out. The Star's Diane Stafford is with us. She covers the employment front for the newspaper. And Diane, welcome back. Always good to have you.
Nice to be here, Steve.
And if our listeners, if anyone out there is looking for a job out there and has been doing so for a while and can give us a call and tell us what it's like out there, we'd like to hear about it. Our number, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. Well, I mentioned that new numbers on the unemployment rate are out this morning, Diane. What happened in December? What did the government announce today?
That there were 155,000 new payroll jobs added. The unemployment rate stayed at 7.8%. Those two numbers are taken from two different household surveys. Obviously, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics doesn't call everybody. They call some and extrapolate the numbers. And that's they're big numbers to watch for the economy.
If you read about this, you've quickly learned that 15,500 jobs sounds like a lot, but it's not enough to drive down the jobless rate, right?
No, unfortunately, that's about the average gain in employment for the last 2 years. And we need at least 200,000 new jobs a month to significantly lower the unemployment rate. Traditionally, we've thought that 4% was full employment or full unemployment, whatever you want to call it. So we're still high, but there's not much job creation to propel it lower.
Do you have any sense from looking at these numbers what's holding back the economy? I mean, sure, there's a whole bunch of issues out there, but why isn't the rate trickling down even more than it is?
Really good question, Steve.
In 10 words or less.
Right. Throughout last year, we looked at confusion over the Health Care Reform Act. Employers said, well, we're not going to add jobs because we don't know what our costs are going to go in connection with that. We looked at trepidation about the presidential election. We looked at the fiscal cliff.
Yeah.
All of those reasons were given as why employers weren't adding payroll. We did see increases in employment of temporary and contract workers, which is usually the first step toward making the commitment to add a quote-unquote permanent job. But again, it's just maybe the economy has not grown enough to merit job creation.
You know, you've also reported recently that a quarter of U.S. employers plan to add staff carefully, was the word you used, in 2013. You said the annual Career Builder hiring forecast said 26% of hiring managers surveyed in November said they intended to add full-time permanent employees in the new year. This was up 3 points over last December's outlook for 2012. Again, one more sort of hopeful sign there.
It is hopeful if you're in the right industries or you have the right talents. Healthcare continues to add jobs. Doesn't mean you have to be a healthcare provider. You could be a back shop person. You could work in insurance or accounting or something in the healthcare industry. There is just very modest growth in education. Hurricane Sandy is having a post-construction bump in jobs. So if you're on the East Coast and you want to build things, there's work. There's been a downtick and now an uptick in some computer jobs, but you have to be the right kind of IT professional. So the outlook for hiring is good if you want to do the things that are hot. If you're not skilled in those areas or they're not your cup of tea, there could still be a long slog ahead. And that's especially worrisome because 4 out of 10 of the unemployed have been out of work for 6 months or more. And employers are just not really likely to want to take a chance on hiring someone who's been out of work that long.
And that's because why?
Partly because they're not giving a fair chance, but partly because they assume that the skills are rusty or that there must be something wrong with you if you've been out of work for that long. And I don't say that as someone who believes that because I go to job clubs and talk to an awful lot of very talented people who just happened to be let go because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You know, one other thing about this morning's jobs report caught my eye, and that is this idea that while private sector job growth was there, the government, state, federal, across the country, local, are shedding jobs still. That's a big chunk of sort of what the drag on this particular number in terms of the employment rate, right?
In fact, every month recently, we've seen a growth in private payrolls, but a reduction in government jobs. And to say that makes some people happy on its face, but those are people who are losing work. And also some government jobs do have the power to create more jobs, you know, especially if it's infrastructure improvement and things like that. But overall economy, if you take the net gains in private payrolls and net loss in government payrolls, we've still lost, not regained, half of the jobs that we lost during the recession.
That's the STARS' Diane Stafford. We're talking about the job outlook for 2013. If you've been looking for a job for a while and can tell us just how tough it is out there, we'd like to hear your story. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to Felix from Lee's Summit. Felix, good morning.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was featured in the Yahoo Finance special that they did on the long-term unemployed. And just for the record, from age 49 to 54 in the last 5 years, I've put out 5,126 applications for jobs. I have 2 master's degrees, an MBA, and a Master of Laws and Letters from Northwestern University, an 18-year work history, which was excellent until a large company laid me off, which will remain unnamed. I have not had but 2 responses out of 5,125 applications. One of them was for a pyramid scheme where they wanted me to invest $100,000 with them. The other was for a commission-only job, which didn't fit me or my skills at all. We recently in the Kansas City Star announced that 800 people were going to be hired by the government at the new Immigration Homeland Security Center in Lee's Summit. I immediately went online, and with my skills, I applied for 16 different governmental jobs. All 16 within 72 hours sent back computer-generated emails stating, you have insignificant experience to qualify for this job, which is totally crazy. I have 10 times more experience than what they're actually asking for in these jobs. They also say, do not respond to this email, as no human will ever read it. So when people give up out of sheer frustration, although I haven't done it in 5 years, I understand that. I've been patching together a lifestyle based on 3 minimum wage jobs, delivering newspapers for the Kansas City Star 200 miles every morning, working part-time at a little party store for minimum wage, and then trying to pick up trash on the side of the freeways to keep our family going. It's extremely frustrating.
Felix, how do you keep going?
Like I said, the 3 minimum wage jobs, 2 children had to quit college and come home. They're both working minimum wage jobs. Everybody's pitching in every penny, and we're living at a bare minimum livable existence, barely able to pay our bills over the last 5 years. I'll tell you, it's been very, very difficult. Suicide has entered my mind. I'd be lying if I didn't say that was the fact. But I just cannot explain with my impeccable record, my wonderful education, my beautiful experience and references, that I don't get any responses from any of these companies. My only guess is that I'm getting older. I've gone from 49 to 54. This is 5 years of applying. 5 years, imagine that, if you can. Imagine 5,122 applications. I keep them on an Excel spreadsheet for any doubters that think I'm exaggerating. I recently showed it to some friends who were over our home at Christmas, and their jaws dropped. They just couldn't believe it. Not only that, I kept an Excel spreadsheet so well, but over 5,000 companies did not reply to me.
Well, Felix, my jaw's dropping too,
yeah,
Diane.
Yeah. Felix, I am so sorry to hear about your situation.
I am too.
But unfortunately, you, in a little thimble here, have epitomized the job situation for many people who've been out of work for a long time. Part of what you're running into is the supposition by employers that you want more money than they're willing to pay. You've had an excellent work history. You probably made a good salary. And so they're looking at that as the classic overqualified situation. A lot of times, pay discrimination is really what we're talking about instead of age discrimination. You're also probably going to have a tougher time connecting with any large employer. Just about anything you find on the internet, you're going to be competing with a lot of other people, including fresh college grads that they can get for cheap and that they assume have all the latest technological skills, social media, and that sort of thing. What seems to be most effective for people who are attending job clubs in the Kansas City area is to start going to Rotary clubs, to Chamber of Commerce meetings, and to shake hands. Don't apply online. Shake hands, because your skills are needed by some small or mid-sized employer that just now is beginning to grow. And they don't care how old you are. They care about your experience and what kind of help you can bring to their enterprise. But you're probably not going to find them online. You're going to find them by shaking hands, by doing the networking.
And I appreciate your response. And just for the record, and I'm not being pugnacious, I belong to 3 chambers of commerce, 3 job clubs. I'm a member of our church. I volunteer. I've done all of that. In fact, I just came moments ago from the Chamber of Commerce meeting in one of our local suburbs here. I don't know what much more that I can do. I've done all of the things you're supposed to do. 5 different times I've paid professionals to redo my resume. I've had my resume targeted for specific jobs where I paid $250 to have them change it. It matters not what format my resume is. It matters not how they change it without dates so it doesn't give a clue to my age. It matters not whether my money and earnings is kept off of the page. Nothing. Everybody at the job club seems to be in the same boat. They all have a donut. They all shake hands, and they all look at each other and say, do you have anything for me? No. Do you have anything for me? No.
And that is why we're still looking at the job growth rate so closely, because until those jobs are created, there are going to be very skilled, talented people who want to work, who are still in situations like you are in. And it's very lamentable, and that is unfortunately what happens when the economy tanks as badly as it did.
Well, these words will sound hollow, Felix, but we wish you all the best. And maybe we'll revisit this topic in the future, and I'll be curious to hear if you get success down the road. Russell from Kansas City, Missouri. Russell, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello there. Yeah, I've been pretty much the same boat as the last guy with a slight twist. I'm 50. I've got a resume, an IT resume, and an engineering resume as long as my leg. And that presents problems. What I came out here on a sprint job offer, and, well, guess how that turned out. What I did is I have an education rather than training. I framed houses and pulled wire to put myself through Berkeley. And so I fell back on other skills. I install alarm systems and security cameras and that sort of thing. It's not a glamorous living. It's a dirty living. But it's a living that pays the bills, and it's within my skill set. IT and networking and DVR go together very nicely. Wiring a house and wiring a security system go together very nicely, and I know what's inside a wall. I would suggest that anybody who can't find work might be able to make it by calling themselves a single proprietorship and finding odd jobs until they do.
Russell, thanks.
One of the values of the really outstanding community college system that we have in the Kansas City area is that they do provide an awful lot of short course training, credentialing for hands-on skills. That's the advantage of a hands-on thing like you're doing, is that it can't be outsourced to overseas. It has to be done here. And a lot of times, blue-collar jobs are still paying well, even in a non-union environment.
You know, it's so good to get these phone calls this morning, only because I think some folks out there are under the impression that things are getting better all the time. And what is forgotten so often are folks like Felix and Russell, who have struggled enormously, very qualified people, to find anything out there that might work. And I know you hear this all the time.
Well, there is, depending on what your sources of information are, there are people who think that the numbers are politically motivated to look better than they are, and they are not politically
manipulated. Well, maybe this is a good time to talk about exactly what the unemployment number actually represents, and how it sometimes overlooks folks who have been can't find a job for quite a while. What does the unemployment rate mean, Diane?
The unemployment rate is obtained by a random household survey. And each month the question is asked, are you working or looking for work? And the answer creates a percentage of the population, of the working age population, that says they're working or looking for work. And there are follow-up questions about, are you working involuntarily part-time, or, you know, have you dropped out because you don't think anything is there for you? And that creates various levels of unemployment. 7.8% is the official rate. If you add in all the people who say they are disaffected, disillusioned, sitting out temporarily because they think there's nothing there for them, you can get as high as 14%. That's not anything new. That's been the difference between those two levels of official unemployment and full unemployment have always been there. What a lot of people don't understand, though, is they think that if they're not getting unemployment checks from the government, that they are not counted as unemployed. And that is incorrect. There is no correlation between whether or not you obtain an unemployment check and whether or not you are counted in the statistic. Because as I explained, the statistic is derived from a household survey and extrapolated to a number. And also have to understand that only about 1 in 4 people who are looking for work actually obtain unemployment insurance because of eligibility rules and all that. Unemployment checks are a godsend to people who have been out of work, but those also end. Missouri's checks, regular unemployment, end after 20 weeks. In Kansas, the end comes after 26 weeks. Because of the length and depth of the recession, the federal government had authorized various phases of extended and emergency unemployment, and all of those were due to expire at the end of last year.
And but Congress just renewed.
Congress renewed the federal long-term extension. But again, not everybody is eligible for that, and so people should not assume that the statistics, the unemployment statistic, fails to reflect them just because they're not getting an unemployment check. Those are completely unrelated sets of data.
So when you hear then, as someone who covers this for a living, Diane, that the unemployment rate right now is 7.8%, how much stock do you put into that number? Because if the number really is, could be construed at 14%, that's a whole different story there.
Well, it's statistics. It's the best we've got. It's probably not foolproof. The employer survey that charts job growth is generally considered to be a more accurate reflector of what the job market situation actually is. And the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics goes back each month and reevaluates the previously published number. And so there's always a revision. And we did find that October numbers stayed about the same. November numbers went up a little bit. So over time, the employer survey that charts job growth is considered to be a more accurate reflection of what the economy is because of just the vagaries of how people might answer the questions when they receive one of those random telephone calls.
We're visiting with the Star's Diane Stafford about the jobless rate and the job outlook for 2013. Just while we're on this topic of the long-term unemployed, the government is saying that the number of long-term unemployed has remained essentially unchanged in December. 4.8 million people, as you just said, almost 40% of those who claim to be jobless, 4.8 million of those are long-term unemployed, which is what, longer than 6 months? Is that what you said?
Yes, 26 weeks is the official definition of long-term unemployment. And for people like our callers, that's where your heart breaks because so many of them want to come back to work and they would love to reclaim the kind of job that they had. And unfortunately for many of them in many professions, it's not going to happen. In the Kansas City area especially, we've seen a lot of fallout because Sprint was such a major employer. Yeah. And when they began their very large job cuts, that has an effect that's hard to absorb for the rest of the community.
7.8% is the national unemployment rate. Right. Those numbers out today. The state unemployment rates for Missouri and Kansas typically come out, what, in a week or two?
They're a month later. Yes, they do come out.
And the latest figures roughly are what for Missouri and Kansas?
I think Missouri is very similar to the national rate. Kansas is quite good. It's in the 6% range, I believe.
And why is Kansas doing better just in general?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's been a good year for on the farm. And
yeah, but those are non-farm numbers, so that mm-hmm. wouldn't. Kansas has always just been a little bit healthier in that statistic. But given that there have been job cuts in the aircraft industry in Wichita, for example, maybe that's balanced by growth in feeders, you know, out in Dodge City. I am sorry that I haven't looked into that in depth. I don't know the answer.
You know, the other day you reported that a firm out there that tracks publicly announced job mm-hmm. cuts said that last year's total was the lowest in 15 years. You said last year's 523,000 cuts were the least since 1997 when employers announced 434,000 job cuts. How hopeful of a sign is that? And what exactly is a job cut, just so we're all on the same page here?
That's when an employer announces publicly that we plan these layoffs. Like Citigroup just said, we're going to cut 11,000 jobs. That's what that challenger company tracks. They can only report what they find, you know, out in on the news wires and things like that. Mm-hmm. How hopeful is that number? It is good. It's except if you take the pessimistic view that says, well, employers have cut so much, they are down to the bone, there is nothing left to cut. Then you say, okay, what's next? But anytime you can see a year after year progression in fewer and fewer announced job cuts, that does indicate an improved economy.
And that same firm that tracks these things said that despite worries about the fiscal cliff, December had the least announced job cuts throughout 2012, except for August, I guess. And that would be one more sign that things seem to be going in the right direction.
Yeah, except historically, January has been the biggest job cut month of the year.
That's when it tends to happen.
Yeah, so December could have been a nice blip, or it could, again, you know, we don't have crystal balls.
Mm-hmm.
If we had looked into our crystal ball and said, here's what's going to happen, we would have been so consumed with the idea that employers were going to do nothing because of the fiscal cliff and mm-hmm. health care reform that, well, we would not have predicted even a job growth of 155,000. For this last month.
So what are the experts saying, again, turning back to 2013 and what lies ahead here, Diane, what are the experts saying about what kind of year might be ahead going forward?
Exactly what we've seen the last two. There's mm-hmm. very little prediction of rapid growth. If the GDP continues to grow at about 2%, that's probably what we're probably going to just see more of the same. Monthly average job growth in the neighborhood of about 150,000, which again is not what we need for rapid improvement in the job market. It's not enough to absorb new entrants to the labor force like college graduates. College graduates right now have an unemployment rate of about 11%, which is, you know, too high.
Yeah.
It's too high.
Is all of this what you expected, again, as someone who covers this stuff for a living? Did you think 2012 was going to be a better year? Did you think the pace was going to start picking up? Because I guess I did, just
yes.
sort of watching all this
right.
from afar, thinking, reading all these different signs, it looks like things are ready to roll, but they don't seem to be really rolling as fast as I thought they were going to roll.
This recovery is not behaving like previous modern recoveries. Usually the bounce back is much faster. We didn't get that this time. And so the economists are scratching their heads and saying, are our old models useful? We don't know.
And again, a good tip for anyone out there looking right now, is there one or two things that people tend to overlook that you might advise them to consider?
Look at the small and mid-sized businesses. Don't stop taking the paper. Read the Kansas City Star. Read the Business Journal. Listen to any business news that you hear, because you're going to be alerted to small and mid-sized businesses that are growing. And that's where reemployment opportunity lies.
That's the Star's Diane Stafford. Always good to have you here, Diane. Great job. Thanks for coming in.
Welcome.
You can find more information about our program and our guests at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date. Looking for a good film? Check out our critics' three to see, their favorite indie, foreign, and documentary films showing on area screens. I look at that thing almost every weekend. Our show's theme music is by Bobby Watson and the UMKC Conservatory of Music Concert Jazz Band. We had help this week from KCUR's Kim Noble, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. Our show's senior producer is Steven Steigman. Have a great weekend, all. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.